Welcome to Current State. I'm Kyle Malin, editor of MERS News, filling in today for Mark Bayshore. Well, it's primary election day in Michigan, with polling places around the state open until 8 p.m. We're going to open the show today with a look at how Michigan has weighed in on presidential nominees in the past. It hasn't always been done the way it's being done today, with primary elections for the Republican and Democratic parties. There have been open primaries and caucuses here in days gone by, too. And joining us to look back at presidential nominee selections in Michigan over the years is Bill Ballinger of the Ballinger Report. Welcome to Current State, Bill.
Glad to be with you, Kyle.
So if you go to the polls today, and maybe you already have, you will get to select either Republican or Democratic ballot, and you will select the nominee of your choice today. But it hasn't always been done that way, has it, Bill?
No. We vacillated between our traditional, what we call open primaries, the same kind of primaries we have in August for state races, where you can go into the polling place and go into the privacy of the booth. You can vote in either party's primary, and that's it. I mean, you make your choice from among candidates for one particular party. In these presidential primaries, there's been vacillation back and forth between doing it that way, which is really the way the Republicans have done it most of the time, and really caucuses, private party sanctioned and run caucuses, principally by the Democrats, who have been fearful that if they open up their nomination process in a presidential race to voters of any sort, people who walk in Michigan and can choose to vote in their primary, even though they may not really be Democrats, they could be independents or Republicans, that some embarrassing result is going to happen. And in fact, it has happened to the Democrats at least twice in the past, principally in 1972, and they're very leery of that happening again. So this year, for the first time in many, many years, the Democrats have actually really given up their private caucuses, and they have decided, okay, we're going to elect our delegates to the national convention the old-fashioned way, the way the Republicans have been doing it, and we're both going to have each party, Democrats and Republicans, their primaries on the same day, today.
And maybe the difference here is that the Republicans have a competitive primary as well. The Democrats have a competitive primary as well. You mentioned the 1972 race, and I believe you're talking about Wallace getting the nomination for Democrats. Is that right?
Correct.
And that was an embarrassment because obviously he was not the selection for maybe the mainstream Democrats at that time. Is it because the Republicans went in and fiddled around in their primary that they had Wallace as the nominee coming out of Michigan?
There's been a lot of debate about that. Obviously, the Democrats suspect that that's exactly what happened, that there were a lot of Republicans who did raid the Democratic primary and produce the result of Wallace winning the nomination. By the way, let's turn that around. Back in the year 2000, there is no question, based on documentation, that Democrats raided the Republican primary and produced John McCain as the winner in 2000 in Michigan. Independents and Democrats, a substantial number of them, maybe 25% of the electorate, raided the Republican primary and racked up huge margins for John McCain on the Republican side. If only Republicans or people identified as Republicans had voted in that 2000 presidential Republican primary, George W. Bush would have won it. But it was Democrat presence in the Republican primary that produced John McCain as a winner, just as Republicans and independents back in 72 raiding the Democratic primary produced George Wallace as a winner.
Now, I'm going to go to 2004 because I believe that's the last time that the Democrats had one of these caucus systems that actually mattered. And the end outcome was that John Kerry won the state of Michigan. But explain to our listeners why it's very cumbersome and why Democrats and Republicans in general don't like to do a caucus.
Well, I don't know if it's cumbersome, but the fact is that Democrats hold it on kind of an odd day. As I remember, it was like a Saturday,
yep,
and they're in private schools. They're not in your traditional polling places much of the time. The Democrats in other words, we're trying to screen or control the types of people that came in and voted in this caucus for, you know, Democratic candidates running for president. They didn't want Republicans and independents coming in. So the turnout in these things was, you know, miserably low. But, you know, if you're the party organization, you're happy about that because you know the people turning out are real bona fide Democrats, and they're going to produce somebody the Democrats want nominated, not that somebody who's not a Democrat thinks ought to be the nominee, or maybe somebody from the outside who wants to muck up your primary and produce an embarrassing nominee that you as Democrats are then stuck with in headlines for days after that, announcing that somebody undesirable by most Democrats has won your primary or your caucus.
And let's take our listeners back to 2004. George W. Bush was going to be the Republican nominee. So if this were to go to the popular ballot, there would be no reason for Republicans not to participate in the Democratic primary.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, you're making a really good point. You know, if one party has a lot of skin in the game, they have a contest among a number of candidates, obviously people want to go where the action is. And if the other party really has no contest, let's say an incumbent president is running for re-election like Barack Obama in 2012 or whatever, there's not really any motive for Democrats, let's say, if it was 2012 or Republicans in 2004, to get out and vote in their own primary or in their own caucus. They want to get over in the other caucus or primary and mess things up and get their two cents in.
And let's talk about the timing of the primary today. And we're not going to get into the primary, talk about the candidates. But what we are going to talk about is how the situation is a little different from 2008, because in 2008, both sides had competitive primaries, but Barack Obama decided not to be on the ballot in Michigan. Remember that Hillary Clinton was on, and she was battling uncommitted. And the reason is because the Democrats and the Republicans decided to buck party rules and decided to have an early presidential primary in 2008. And the end result was that the Democratic Party said, you know what, at the national level, they said, you know what, we're not going to recognize this or participate in this. And so it kind of turned into a bit of a sham primary, Bill.
Yeah, oh, it was a sham primary. Barack Obama was not on the ballot. And so Hillary Clinton easily won the Democratic primary, virtually unopposed. You know, you point out another thing, and that is state law compared to party rules. When you get right down to it, no state, and Michigan is an example, can dictate to a political party how they're going to select their delegates to their national convention. They can pass a law, which Michigan had in place, as you point out, in 2008, saying, okay, here's our presidential primary day. But if the Democrats, who, by the way, weren't, you know, controlling state government to that extent at that time, don't like the way the game is being played as set up by Republicans, who are their opponents, they can pick up their marbles and go walk away, or individual candidates can. Barack Obama can say in 2008, I smell a rat, I don't like this situation, I'm not going to compete. And so, in other words, a primary law is only as good as the party and its candidates want it to be.
That's exactly right. And so this year, both parties are playing by Democratic and Republican Party rules. And so they will get their full slate of delegates, regardless of how the turnout is today.
Right. And one other thing, and you know this very well, there was big pressure, particularly on the Republican side back in 2008, 2012, to move up its primary on the calendar early in the year. You remember, we had primaries like in mid-January, if you can believe it. I mean, almost 2 months ago at this time, our primary would have been held already, over with. And that was in violation of national party rules. And the national party was saying to the Republicans, you do this and we're not going to seat your delegates. And the Republicans decided, you know, that's a risk worth taking because we're going to get so much more favorable publicity because we're going to be all alone early in the calendar right after Iowa and New Hampshire. The nation's eyes are going to be focused on us. And when you get right down to it, by the time we get to the convention next summer, nobody's really going to penalize us. Everybody's going to want to be happy and bury the hatchet, and et cetera. So the Republicans got the law changed to have this early and illegal primary, which, you know, was a completely different factor from what we find right now. This year, finally, both parties are in compliance with their national party rules as to the calendar. Both parties are in compliance as to whether it's in each one's best interest to have a primary today with multiple candidates on each side. And we're finally getting a good old-fashioned, legitimate, bipartisan primary, Kyle. It's been a long time.
Well, it has been. And, you know, you point out that in the past, the Republicans took the attitude, well, of course they're going to seat our delegates. They're not going to let us.
Right.
You know, but in 2012, they did penalize Michigan. We got a bum hotel way away from the convention site. And then they did have some real trouble seating people. And if you're a Republican stalwart, you know, going to the convention is like the going to the Super Bowl. I mean, this is a huge deal. And then you get your floor pass yanked. I mean, that's a big deal. And so then they decide, okay, they mean business. I guess we're going to have to go ahead and abide by the rules.
Absolutely. I think they finally got the message. You know, this national committee, they do have a little clout. They can really make us suffer. and we've been sticking it to them too long, and maybe we better back off and just abide by the rules.
So this presidential primary has been very competitive on the Republican side, and you've seen a lot of votes split up. I've heard it compared to the 1988 presidential primary, and I wasn't dialed into politics really at that time. I was wondering if you could share with our listeners if you see a similarity between this one and what happened in 1988.
Well, 88, boy, that was really something. I think most of what happened here in Michigan that year was really well in advance of what happened in Michigan because the Jack Kemp forces and the Pat Robertson, remember him, forces,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Were running, and they won a bunch of kind of caucuses and county conventions and district conventions leading up to the primary that made it look like George H.W. Bush, who was then running for the Republican nomination as vice president, under Ronald Reagan, he was running for the presidential nomination. He was the big favorite. Looked like it was going to be embarrassing, and he was going to lose Michigan. Finally, the Republicans got things turned around so that it, you know, Bush ended up doing all right. On the Democratic side, that was another surprise result. If you're African-American in Michigan, you applaud this, but Jesse Jackson won the Democratic primary in Michigan in 1988. And that was the year that Michael Dukakis, at that point, had pretty much gotten the Democratic nomination all wrapped up. And so that was a shocking and surprise result. And the Democrats were a little concerned and angry and nervous that maybe, you know, people had gotten into their primary and meddled like Republicans and independents, as we've been discussing. So, you know, that led to renewed angst about how you hold a caucus or a primary in subsequent years in 92 and 96, and then we go up to 2000. And it's just been a constant battle back and forth as to which party conducts its presidential nominating process in Michigan, in which way, whether they abide by a primary, at what time in the calendar, or whether they go to a caucus, what are the ground rules, and it's been all over the map for all this time until this year.
You're listening to Current State. I'm Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter, filling in today. Bill Ballinger from the Ballinger Report is our guest. Bill, we've only got a couple minutes left here, but it kind of sounds like a theme we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes here is that Michigan will go its own way. It will buck the system. It will pick people that maybe the rest of the country doesn't expect. We talked about John McCain. We talked about George Wallace. So Michigan has historically been a little bit of a wild card, it sounds like.
Yeah, it is. There was another big upset, and that was back in 1980, believe it or not. Ronald Reagan had the Republican nomination pretty well wrapped up. We had our primary that year, Kyle, if you can believe this, on May 20th.
Wow.
That is how late it was in the calendar, and that's the way it used to be. For years and years and years, it was that late before we got up to, you know, like January, February, March. And George H.W. Bush was running for president, and he came into Michigan and was endorsed by the Republican governor, Bill Milliken, who took him all around the state barnstorming together. And by gosh, if he didn't beat Ronald Reagan on May 20th. I mean, people were stunned and shocked, but it was so late in the process, and Reagan had so many delegates in tow at that point that within a couple of weeks, Bush dropped out of the race. So it really became academic. But again, it was a shocking upset, and it plays right into your contention, and it's a good one, that Michigan produces surprise results on both sides of the ballot.
And I think it also shows that campaigning here in Michigan and actually putting forth an effort can yield some good results for people. And again, we're just going to remind people that today is the presidential primary day and the polls close at 8 p.m. So if you want to get out and vote, you have to select either a Republican or a Democratic ballot. You cannot pick in both primaries. You have to pick one, and that is to the benefit of the respective parties because they like to know who's playing in which primary. Bill Ballinger from the Ballinger Report has been joining us today. Bill, thanks for joining us on Current State. We appreciate it.
Kyle, the pleasure was mine.
You're listening to Current State. I'm Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter, filling in for Mark Bayshore.